And today is February 20th. We are meeting this morning to look at a work session for the House Bill 5045, the Oregon Board of Tax Practitioners. And do you have any comments for us this morning, Tim?
Not immediately, but I'm sure we will get into the budget issues.
Okay. With that, then, we will open the work session on House Bill 5045. And I believe Mr. who we got here is a director, is here to without my cheat sheet.
Yeah, Dwayne Hunter's the director, but I'll be
Dwayne? Okay.
Handling most of the festivities.
Okay, you're going to handle the festivities? Is he going to consider them festivities, though? So that's the question.
That remains to be seen.
Please proceed, then, Kim.
Thank you, Chair Jensen, members of the committee. There were two questions that were asked in their public hearing that I've got answers for since. I just wanted to let you know what those answers are. The first one was around their key performance measure and the development of the number of 160 returns is what a tax preparer should be handling per year. And I just wanted to, they replied to me and let me know how they developed that. They discussed with their stakeholders, the licensees, associations, and business owners about how many tax returns a tax professional could handle in a season and with minimum of errors and still being able to respond to customers and do a good job on those. And they settled on 160. And what they've done to quantify how many they're actually happening is they've gone back to the Department of Revenue and pulled the number for the total number of tax returns that have been done by professional tax preparers and divided that by the number of tax preparers that they have to come up with a number of about what the workload is for the tax preparers out there. Now, that number also may include some CPAs, which may not necessarily be through their license. So it's not a perfect number, but I think it's a fairly good indication of maybe what that load is out there, and that would also help them or help identify if, you know, they need to generate more interest in the business and have more tax preparers out there to, you know, if that's kind of an indication maybe what the business level is out there. And the second question was the number of surveys that had been returned to them. I believe that they had mailed those out to their licensees, and they received 95 back. So out of 5,000 or 5,500 licensees, it's not a very good return rate. And what they're looking at now is using DAS has an electronic online survey tool called the SurveyMonkey, and they're going to look at using that and hopefully make the response rate a little bit higher, and it'll be easier for their licensees to respond to that. So those were the two outstanding questions that we had. I have handed out.
Go ahead.
I've got the work session memo. The governor's recommended budget for the Board of Tax Practitioners was $1,075,985, which is roughly an 18% increase over the 0507 LAB, legislatively approved budget. And I just wanted to point out that in the 0103 biennium, the Board of Tax Practitioners had to come to the treasurer and get a loan of approximately $90,000 because they had overspent their budget. As you might imagine, they've had a change in management since that low point, and they have, I think, done a very good job of managing their finances in an appropriate fashion. They now have roughly about a $250,000 ending balance. You know, so these guys have, I think, done a very good job over the last three, 4 years to turn that around and make sure that they're budgeting appropriately, anticipating what their revenues are, and spending wisely. In the governor's recommended budget, they have included a fee increase to cover an additional office specialist support staff position, and also to cover increased costs from the Department of Justice merit increases, and a computer and database upgrade, and I will go through those shortly. Package 100, I'm not going to go through the 030 packages, which are essentially the adjustments that they make and changes in workman's comp and those types of structural or foundational issues. So I'll just go through their policy option packages. Package 100 is their fee increase bill. And as I said, this will be used to cover an additional support staff, DOJ assessments, computer and database upgrade, and merit increases. My recommendation...
Just to refresh my memory, on the merit increases, these are just routine steps. These are not bonuses. These are just routine steps.
Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because we have some agencies that are paying substantial bonuses beyond the steps, and I just wanted to understand that.
What agency would understand? And my recommendation will be
State
to
legislature for people from Scappoose.
Right.
My recommendation for package 100 will be to deny the package. The board currently has House Bill 2240, which is working its way through the process, and that's the actual fee increases. Their fees are capped right now in statute, and they're at the maximum. So they've got to go through the legislative process and have those caps raised through the legislative process before they can actually raise their fees. And so what we'll do is we'll go ahead and we'll back this package out and a number of other packages contingent upon the passage of House Bill 2240. Because if I leave this in, then they've got essentially empty limitation. They've got limitation, but they don't have any money to spend. So we felt that it was better to go ahead and back these out, and then when House Bill 2240 passes, we can go ahead and include the limitation in the bill and move forward. So we're just kind of running parallel processes here. So from our standpoint, it's easier to back these things out. And it's not necessarily a judgment upon the merits of the fee increase or any of the packages at this point. Package 101 is the addition of the office specialist. And the office specialist will be used to provide administrative support. Currently, the investigator that the board uses and, to some extent, the executive director during peak periods get drawn into doing administrative duties, whether that's sending off visa card payments or filing or whatever. So it will allow the board to better use the resources that it has so that the investigator can continue to work on complaints and move those along, and the executive director can also help with the complaints and also manage the business itself. And again, it's no comment on the merit of the package, but I'm going to go ahead and back this package out also, and then we'll add it back in when the bill passes in the legislature.
Mr. Chair, I just want to ask a process question, and that is that when this bill passes the House, does it come down to this committee, or how does that work?
I've requested that the Speaker refer it to the Ways and Means so that we can get it down here, because it's going to have to come down here anyway. I think it had originally gotten stuck in a policy committee, so we're going to get it moved down here so we can handle it.
Thank you.
Follow up on that question. Yes, follow up on Representative Byer's question. What does House Bill 2240 look like? Is that a bill just for this agency, or is it a broad bill for multiple agencies that have a lot of policy packages? And I'm not quite understanding the process here.
Chair Jensen, Senator Bates, this House bill only addresses the Board of Tax Practitioners. Each of their fees are set in statute, and they're at the top of their fee structure. So without making a statutory change, they can't raise their fees. So the bill has to go through the legislative process for them to be able to raise their fees.
It doesn't strike me as an efficient way to run this operation right now. Where the heck is 2240?
Chair Jensen, Senator Bates, I would agree with you. It does make it a little more difficult, and if we may have the time to move those, since we have the Senate Bill 333 process where we have to ratify any changes that they make to their fees, which, by the way, in the next biennium will come back and ratify the actual increase. We may have the time to go ahead and move that fee structure out of statute and let them do that, manage the fees through administrative rule. They still need to come back to the legislature for approval. But I think this is a vestige of an older process where the legislature was concerned about agencies raising fees rapidly and not having a method to change that.
I agree, but we're not seeing this in every budget. We have other budgets, other committees that aren't having a companion bill to change things in statute. So what's I want to understand the difference here in this process. Are we going to see this over and over again, or is this sort of an anomaly just for this one budget?
Chair Jensen, Senator Bates, I think there are still a couple of agencies out there or boards and commissions that have this structure. I have one, the Board of Nursing, which has one of their fees in statute. The rest are not. And then the Board of Tax Practitioners also has theirs in statutes. All of their fees are in statute. So for them, for us to give them the flexibility they need, then we have to do it statutorily, as opposed to if we pulled those out, then the process would be easier, and then they would just be back for ratification. But for the time being with this agency, this is the way we have to approach it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you tell me where this, I can find it out, but do you know what committee this has been currently assigned to? So I can see if I can expedite the process of getting that bill out of there.
Chair Jensen, I believe been in Business and Labor.
Okay.
The 09-011 session.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Whitson.
Okay.
Chair Jensen, I'm new to this Ways and Means process, but historically, has it been a process to put fee bills into a policy committee first and then bring them to Ways and Means, or has it usually been the other way around? It goes directly to Ways and Means.
Grab bag, I think, isn't it? As I recall, I've on a number of policy committees have had fee bills come to the policy committee, which then have to be referred to Ways and Means. I see the senator shaking his head.
Well, because of efficiency. I mean, you know, we're telling them to be efficient, and here we are sort of fumbling around this way. And this is not a reflection of anybody here. It just seems the anomaly we should get fixed and cleaned up.
We will, in relationship to this particular agency, I will try to explore the possibility of taking this out of statute as an amendment, but that remains. We'll just do our homework on that, and if that can be amended in that way without creating major chaos, why, I think I'd be inclined to do that.
Thanks.
Representative Byron.
Thank you. Just hopefully a quick question. On this House Bill 2240, are all the parties supportive of this, I guess is my question, or is it going to run into opposition from the tax practitioners that are actually paying it?
Chair Jensen, Representative Byer, the Board of Tax Practitioners has done a substantial amount of outreach with their stakeholders. It's been, I believe, since 2001, since they had their last fee increase, and the tax preparers and the consultants understand that at some point they're going to need a fee increase, and they feel that the fee increase is justified and appropriate.
Thank you.
Representative.
While we're doing this, Mr. Chair, so if we deny all these packages and it's unanimous, will people, our colleagues, will they probably see that? And then will that, perhaps could that impact 2240s?
Not if we can get it out of and get it down here.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Crumlin.
With regards to 2240, does anybody know if it does in fact already have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means? Or is it just in the substantive committee?
Chair Jensen, Representative Crummell. I believe they had submitted this bill as a legislative concept, and why it got shuffled off into a policy committee, I don't know, but it didn't. I don't believe it had a subsequent referral at the time. I've been working with the Business and Labor Committee Administrator to get it moved.
Representative Crummell, if I could, you recall the other day I put a fit on the floor about a bill that didn't go through the Ways and Means process, and it would be even a greater, more of a fit if it happened to be my committee than it was my fault.
Yes, I remember that, Mr. Chair. Okay. So
Chair,
we'll try to make sure.
I think it's Representative Schaffler is the chair of that committee, and I think he wants every single bill on this side to be go through his committee. I think that's the problem.
I think that's probably it. Bills. We'll look. If he's going to want to hear the bill, then, you know, then he's going to have to move that thing up and get it out of there. It's your turn, Mr. Representative Edwards. You haven't got joined into this.
No, I'm on Business and Labor, though, so I'll do what I can.
Okay.
Please vote aye.
And I certainly don't want to put you in jeopardy with your other chair, so we'll,
One more question, Mr. Chair. So we vote the LFO's recommendation to deny these packages. Then the policy committee passes 2240. And then do they send it back down here? And do we reverse our vote, or how does that work? Or do we, our negative votes are on record, and then we vote for it on the floor? I mean, how does that work?
Chair Jensen and Senator Whitsitt, you'll hopefully approve the budget as per the LFO recommendation. That's really not a comment on the packages themselves. It's just an acknowledgement that they do not have the revenue at this moment to support those additional packages. So we'll pass the budget out, and then when the bill, House Bill 2240, comes down to the committee, then when we pass that, if that's what the committee decides to do, then LFO, I will go back in and I'll add the limitation back into their budget, probably via the Christmas tree bill at the end of the session.
Not an uncommon, maybe not a efficient, but not an uncommon procedure.
Chair Jensen, members of the committee, LFO is a little leery about providing what we call empty limitation to an agency without having the revenue to support it. In some ways, it would be easier and more efficient to go ahead and pass the budget as we see it developing, but without having that revenue package to support what they're trying to do, there is a risk for us that we're going to have to go back in and pull the limitation out. And so the way that we have chosen to handle that is add the limitation back in once the revenue package passes.
I think Representative Glizio in the Ed Committee, we've had a couple of these bills come through with the increases, in there. And this just happens to be the assignment at the Speaker's desk. There's certainly no one that wants to complain that the Speaker's office made a mistake, but we want to help make sure that his decision was a wise one.
Mr. Chair, just a quick comment on that, and that is that I think we have to acknowledge that we're new at this. It's been a while since we've had this responsibility, and so I'm not surprised that you...
Well, Representative Byer, I certainly do not in any way imply anything in relationship to that, because I would even comment in the limited tenure that I've had here that I've had sometimes major heartburn with speakers and where they have assigned bills to, and this certainly doesn't fall in the category of giving me heartburn.
Chair Jensen, members of the committee, I think under normal circumstances, if they had the ability to manage their fees under administrative rule, you would see a companion bill with their budget bill, which would be just used to ratify the changes that they had made, as opposed to this one is more, the House Bill 2240 is more prospective as opposed to a ratification request.
So, go ahead, Dan.
Right. Chair Jensen, members of the committee, Package 102 will upgrade their database so that the compliance and the licensing pieces of their database are tied together, so that it will be easier and more efficient for them to monitor which licensees are having compliance problems and vice versa. And at some point, they'll be able to have a more robust presence on the Internet as far as people being able to get onto their website and finding out if there are complaints filed against licensees. Package 103 is also a computer hardware replacement, and this is to replace the board's desktop computers based on DAS's recommended technology refresh rate. I don't know exactly how many desktops or computers that they're going to replace, but I believe it can probably be done for a little bit less than 15,000. But that's all right. I think at this point we'll leave it as it is, and when we come back and revisit this after the passage of the fee bill, then perhaps we'll make an adjustment. We'll see. LFO recommends that the committee amend House Bill 5045 to reflect these changes from the governor's recommended budget of $1,075,985 other funds to $975,436,000 other funds. And that would require deleting lines on line 6 of the bill, the amount of $1,075,985, and replace it with $975,436, which is roughly a 9.3% decrease from the governor's recommended budget. LFO also recommends approve a motion to adopt the attached performance measures. On a 2% budget reduction, the Board of Tax Practitioners is on an expedited budget process and is not subject to the 2% budget reduction. So LFO recommends no further cuts. And then as a final motion, LFO recommends that the Subcommittee on General Government move House Bill 5045 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson.
Just to move us along this morning, it's a process question. Do you want to do the LFO recommendations in a series of motions, or would the chair entertain a single motion with the LFO recommendation?
The chair would, on this budget, entertain a single motion.
Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation on the Board of Tax Practitioners.
Senator Johnson's moved the that we move the LFO recommendations on the Board of Tax Practitioners to the full Ways and Means Committee.
With a due pass recommendation.
With a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess a couple of things. One is that, this being the present case that we have before us, we can't really make any movement on the with regards to the fees until the fee bill actually gets here, unless it doesn't get here. And so I don't have any concerns about that. I do have concerns about the fee bill itself when it gets here. But one of the things that I would really like to see, and I was going back through Mr. Hunter's presentation from the other day, is with regards to the performance measures. And I'm not going to apologize for this, because I think that this is one of the things that, we are sort of charged with is with regards to the performance measures of the agencies. And I would like to see, and I realize that it's not going to happen with this one, but I would like to see how they are budgeting to their performance measures. In other words, how does this budget get them to the so what question? The so what question being, they're going to have, for example, the number of practitioner-assisted tax returns, a target of 150 in 2009. So what? What does that, and how does this budget get them to that performance measure? Same thing with all of the other five performance measures from a standpoint of how does the budget that they've put together relate to the performance measures to get them to the overall so what question, because I think that as we look at these budgets, if we can get them to the performance measures, then I think when fee increases come up for folks like me, I mean, it doesn't matter to me whether fees increase or not, except that if I ever use a tax preparer, then there's a chance that I may pay for that through the fees that I pay to the tax preparer. But I want to make sure that the dollars that they're utilizing and when they're increasing their fees, that those fees are representative of what it is that the clients, i.e., in this case, the tax preparers, get for the dollars that they're putting in.
Thank you, Representative. Appreciate your comments. Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's two things I'm going to direct this to you. One, between here and the end of session and the Christmas tree bill, a lot of strange things happen in this building, especially in the last week or two when things get very hectic. It would not be the first time that something is missed and you don't get your fee increases. So I'm going to lay it on you to make sure you check with LFO and that Christmas tree bill, which can be long, complex, and almost impossible to read, you get in there what needs to get in there. LFO is going to be swamped at the end. They're going to be working hard and day and night. They're going to be working weekends. Things get dropped. I've seen it happen before. This is a cumbersome process, and sometimes the small stuff that's important to you gets lost. I'm going to ask you to really bird dog this at the end. Secondly, I would like to have you bring forward at next session legislation that puts you in the same level field that everybody else is. I mean, these agencies and boards need to be looked at, have their performance measures looked at, and we need to ratify any fee increases, but we don't need to go through this cumbersome process with board after board after board, some this way and some another way. Bring forward the legislation that changes this. Okay?
Chair Jensen, Senator Bates, thank you very much for your comments. One thing I would
like... For the record, please.
My name is Dwayne Hunter. I'm the Executive Director for the Board of Tax Practitioners.
Thank you.
When House Bill 2240 first came out, I have scheduled and met with the Chair Schaffler and both Vice Chairs, requesting them to put it on the agenda. Unfortunately, that was unsuccessful. So as far as your bird dog comment, this is 100% something I would like to do. Not to make excuse, being a new director, I inherited the budget. And I share the same passion, and I did realize my education process that this is inconsistent, and any fee increase, and though I don't anticipate one being needed in the near future, we could do it administratively because we administrate it through rule, but it's regulated in statute, which is really a cumbersome way. And so that is something that I definitely plan to address, when I start my process 18 months before we go again. Thank you for your comments, though.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Other comments? Are there objections to the motion? Hearing no objections, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I'll even volunteer to carry it up full.
Senator Johnson has volunteered to carry it to the full. Thank you, and I think Representative Edwards has agreed to carry it to the House floor, and you will carry it to Senate floor also.
Representative Edwards, you will take care of 2244, sir.
I will.
Okay. Chair Jensen, Representative Edwards, I've been having conversations with Teresa Van Winkle about getting that moved, and she said that she was having conversations with the Speaker's office to get it referred down here, but I don't know today what the status of that is.
We'll check as soon as I get out of the room.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
With regards to the fee bill, I guess I'd like to just get it on the record that one of the things that we may want to take a look at and consider when that does get here is the notion of indexing. I think for fees and that sort of thing, indexing can be a very useful tool. It takes away some of the encumbrances that the legislative process may have, but at the same time, it guarantees that the fees aren't just, you know, at the whim of the agency, aren't just sort of spiraling out of control. And so I would certainly like for us to take a look at that and consider that as an idea for that bill.
Thank you, Representative. We'll certainly be open to that.